Most burnout today isn't really about motivation or workload. It's really about biology. And I think people blame themselves for it or think that they have character flaws or something like that. And one problem here is that we've tried to fix a physical problem with mental tools.
Hey there, billionaire. Yep, I'm talking to you. If you expect to live another 31 years, you're already a billionaire. Not in money, but in the real measure of wealth. Time. That's because 31 years is roughly a billion seconds. But most of us waste time in ways we'd never waste money. The currency of time billionaires is micromoments. The 90-second to 15-minute gaps hidden between the structured parts of your day. This podcast is about reclaiming them with quick, research-backed ideas to help you feel more creative, productive, and alive. Welcome to Time Billionaires. Let's make your next micromoment count. This is a two-part episode. If you want to check out the first part, listen to the previous episode of Time Billionaires.
Too much sugar burns out your metabolism. Too many pixels burn out your brain. And that's more pixels than your brain can metabolize. We actually have this epidemic of digital obesity, but we haven't named it this until now.
I love that name. Yeah. And to your point, for many of us, the closest piece of nature we have at any given point might be fruit, food, produce. That tends to be one of the things that we start accelerating more than anything for the sake of efficiency, not cooking ourselves. Processed foods that don't go bad tend to be pretty efficient and easy. If people want to be thinking about either connecting with nature better through more intentional food choices, or even gardening themselves, which I know you're really avid about, are there easier ways to bring houseplants or herbs, for example, or something in quickly that doesn't require a big commitment or a big schedule change to feel closer to access to nature within your own home?
Oh, there are lots of ways. One easy way is to shop at farmers markets when you can, because those people are growing the food and you get to talk to them about what they love about it and how easy it is to grow or hard to grow. And you get a lot of, almost always it's organic or organically oriented. That's powerful. Buying organic in the supermarket's a good choice also, not quite as good. The best, of course, is growing your own. And that's surprisingly easier than you think and actually much more common. 71 million of us think of us as gardeners in America. That's a lot of people. And actually, if you have a houseplant, you're beginning to garden, especially if you can get your hands in the soil, because that soil, if it's healthy soil and not dirt, dirt doesn't have any nutrition in it, soil does. You want to touch the soil because, among other things, it has a bacterium called Mycobacterium vaccae in it that helps, that actually manufactures serotonin. You make more serotonin in your gut than in your brain. And you, that serotonin does a lot of good things for you. One thing it does when you, one thing that soil does for you when you touch it is change your microbiome, change the bacterial composition and microbial composition on your skin, in your respiratory tract, and in your GI system. And that's a good thing because you want that kind of, that diversity so that you can have better immune protection, which is part of the microbiome's function. And gardeners, it turns out, lifelong gardeners anyway, have 37% less dementia than non-gardeners, which is extraordinary because you're caring for something. You're probably have better microbial protection. You are eating more fruits and vegetables because you're gardening. A simple way to do that is to get a little seedling. Any seedling, Trader Joe's are everywhere, but small seedlings are sold in big box stores and in small nurseries as well. So I like starting with herbs because they are hard to kill, and you can use chives or you can use rosemary or you can use thyme. Rosemary especially is hard to kill if it gets enough sunlight. A mint is very easy to grow. I probably would start with mint because it's so easy. And if you find a mint seedling, you can just pop it out of this little six pack and plop it into half potting soil and half perlite in a 6-inch pot. Press it down so that it, you know that it's, it knows that it's being planted, which is not a cognitive no, but the roots sense the soil around it and the perlite around it and begin to reach out and water it once. Houseplants, by the way, need like 6 ice cubes every 2 weeks. A mint plant doesn't need much more than that. Almost anything in a pot is going to be a little more difficult to grow than in the ground, but this 6 ice cubes every 2 weeks seems to work pretty well for most people in a 6-inch pot.
Which is very attainable. You can plant it in half an hour on a weekend and then drop 6 ice cubes every 2 weeks in a micro moment. I very much do not consider myself a gardener. I find it tedious and stressful and overwhelming and everything seems to die, but herbs are easier, to your point, to not kill. And so they can plant them and not think about them. And then the reminder to bring something fresh in, I can make my own tea, which is great. And so I know that there's no microplastics or pesticides in it. And it is exactly that right. Connection with nature, which I appreciate. Yeah. In then just appreciating that this has come from somewhere, it's reminding me to have this unprocessed connection without a big burden. Or when I have to buy things in stores that I can't or won't grow, just remembering how many people were part of it, that the atoms that comprise any orange you're eating have been around since the dawn of the universe. And now they're part of you. We're all connected to this bigger system. So just appreciating really where the food came from. If it's you, if it's not, there's a lot of people, a lot of atoms involved in bringing it to you.
That's a nice way to think about it. I like that a lot. I also think that when you have your hands in the soil, you are connected. It's a physical way to both take care of yourself and to take care of a plant. And the plant rewards you by giving you part of itself, the mint that we've just talked about, as well as flavor. And gram for gram, in the category of foods, herbs and spices have some of the highest anti-inflammatory and antioxidative potential and capacity of any other type of plant, of any other type of food, more than proteins or carbohydrates or fats. So herbs and spices reward you in so many ways. And of course, they're packed full of flavor. They're good with texture and they have great color. They often make a terrific garnish if you're not using them as a salad ingredient, for example, or a frittata ingredient or any other. So the garnish on top of a steak, you ought to eat that as well.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know any of this. I have a 6-month-old that we're introducing solid foods to, and spices to make her like things had come up of obviously just bland pureed turkey with no flavor is terrible, but putting spices in tastes better. She was more likely to like them, but I didn't realize it had such profound oxidative properties on top of being the one thing I haven't killed, like truly even potted plants I can't keep alive, or potted flowers I can't keep alive. So yeah, the fact that it really is as simple as going to Trader Joe's, getting a seedling, popping it in a pot to start is pretty powerful. I really love that. You've given us a handful of very quick things people could do in under 5 minutes, sometimes even in under 90 seconds, looking at the horizon. Is there something else that I didn't give you a chance to express or that you think is important for people to remember when they're trying to have just a more meaningful connection with their health and their time?
I think that what I'd like to say is that I know much of your audience is concerned about burnout, and most burnout today isn't really about motivation or workload. It's really about biology. And I think people blame themselves for it or think that they have character flaws or something like that. And one problem here is that we've tried to fix a physical problem with mental tools. When we sit indoors all day, we defeat ourselves if we're trying to defeat burnout. What we need to do is use a different kind of tool by changing our environment and doing exactly what you've just said, allowing our micro moments to put us in a new place to take advantage of tools that we evolved to be able to use, but that we simply put aside and have ignored as part of medicine. We need to turn the minutes that are incidental into medicine. If we're already spending time outdoors in ordinary ways, if we just deploy those a little differently and look at the horizon and use the morning light and look at sunset, and we haven't talked about using the sky and stars and green exercise. And when you exercise outside, by the way, it's better for you than exercising inside, in lowering your blood pressure more effectively, and having a boost of oxytocin when you walk with someone, making it more enjoyable than walking by yourself. And of course, you can when you're outdoors enjoying morning light, if you take a dog with you, you get to meet people. That part of social connection is a powerful tool in using nature well. And it's something you want because it reduces loneliness. And loneliness, same impact as 3/4 of a pack of cigarettes a day. There are a lot of structured tools in the book, workbook type functions and easy checklists that you can use to get more ideas about how to do this. Because a lot of people don't know what to do when they're going outside, but it's as simple as taking a first step and then using some of the structure to help you find the tools that work for you.
Brilliant. No, you're absolutely right. And I hear that a lot too with the burnout cause that you've talked about. How our time feels is so much more important than how much of it is quantifiably there. But I hear a lot of this, that what's wrong with me as a personal indictment, as opposed to a question, like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do some goal that I have for myself? We don't actually try to answer that question. What's wrong with me could be the environment I'm in is not conducive to that goal, but we tend to have this very personal blame system when it really is systemic. Yeah.
Yeah. No, your body is getting the wrong signals inside. You know, when the body doesn't get basic biologic inputs, light, motion, space, distance, your eyes need distance like your lungs need air. And if you don't get it, they don't work as well. About time, I think we've ultra-processed time, like we've ultra-processed food. Why is that? Because the time that we spend often is kind of the same as ultra-processed food. It's not nutritious. It's just gobbled up by pixels and monitors and screens and lights. It's ubiquitous. That is this time spent with monitors and screens, just like ultra-processed food is. And it's artificial, just like ultra-processed food made mostly of chemicals and stuff you wouldn't recognize as coming out of the ground because it doesn't. So ultra-processing time is part of how we don't savor time, because we also don't do that with ultra-processed food. That time disappears, right? When we're in front of a monitor or a screen, all of a sudden we look up and all that time went away. But if you spend a little time outside, that time is spent very differently. You can't ultra-process time outside. Why is that? Because your attention is drawn. You are moved towards whatever it is you heard or saw or smelled. And that's your attention being drawn, not demanded. When you're on a monitor or a device, or you have your phone in your hand and your brain thinks you're still working, your attention is demanded. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. What's next? When you're outside, you can't ultra-process time. You can only experience it. And that helps your brain work better. Like in the morning light. Light first, coffee second. Light gives you the cortisol boost you need to feel awake. And the coffee gives you an alertness boost as well. They're different and complementary.
They really are. I love this. Yeah, emotions are cues. And we tend to just sort of think we can brute force our way into feeling happy enough, productive enough, focused enough, versus taking the cue that something may be misaligned in our environment, in the way we're experiencing it. And it's very simple. Light first, then coffee. I don't do that. Easy to fix. I can do that tomorrow. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think there's moms like you, especially, often don't experience outside without responsibility. You know, for a lot of people, you got to take the trash out. You got to pick the kid up from school. You got to get the kid to a lesson. You have to get the laundry or the dry cleaning. There's stuff to do when you're outside where you're not permitted to savor it. And that's true for a lot of caregivers. So this is a shift saying, here's a biological tool. You deserve and actually need, and it will help your life go more smoothly and you'll be a better person, partner, wife, caregiver, if you can use time and use the outdoor tools, light, air, motion, in ways to restore your brain, to restore your neurobiology, to make it function better, to give you better memory, better focus, better, more calm, less reactive. And then there are medical results as well. Your blood pressure drops, your resting pulse drops, your anxiety level drops. There's a lot of good data about anxiety, depression, and PTSD in with specific types of nature exposure, from forest bathing to surfing to horticultural therapy. We've talked briefly about gardening. So we just don't want to leave our gains on the table, you know? A lot of people are doing everything right. They still feel a little off. And what we do here when you're outside amplifies everything else you're doing to make your longevity better, to make your performance better. And it's free. It doesn't have a copay. You don't need a prescription, except for the ones that I provide in the book. And it's just outside your door.
It really is. Yeah, it's that simple. Even in a big city, the stoop outside your door still is access to it. And I love that. Yeah. Thank you for this. It's insight. I have a lot to think about, and I'm going to go get on that herb garden. Really appreciate it. And I know a lot of other people will too. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for spending this micro moment with me. If you found it valuable, share it with a fellow time billionaire and give us a rating to help others discover the power of micro moments. For more ways to reclaim your time, check out timebillionaires.org and follow me, Rebecca Shaddix, on LinkedIn. See you next time.